Opening this weekend is a lot of theater, including and especially Lake City Playhouse, which is opening Carousel on Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon. And then it will be a Thursday through Sunday sequence through the rest of this month and the first week of next month, closing on August 6th. So lots of chances to encounter that Rodgers and Hammerstein classic. Musical director for that, Chuck Etheridge. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Mer. Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, sure, because Carousel's important, isn't it?
It is an important show. In 1999, Time magazine came out with their Best of the 20th Century list and named Carousel as the best and most significant musical of the 20th century, which isn't a small thing at all.
There's a lot of competition.
a lot of competition, certainly. But Carousel changed a lot in the way we think of musical theater historically.
Well, a few notable things, the big long soliloquy that, mm-hmm. that Billy does, and I guess some of the dance stuff too.
Right. Prior to Carousel, music was typically used to present an introduction to a character, an idea, a feeling, or a theme. Whereas what Rodgers and Hammerstein did with Carousel is they use the music to further the story in significant ways. And Carousel is full of really long musical sequences. For instance, the whole If I Love You sequence, known as the bench scene in musical theater, it's about 10 minutes long, and they without giving too much of the story away, I don't think I'm doing that, but they go from Billy and Julie go from near-perfect strangers to almost hopelessly in love with each other from the beginning to the end of that beautiful musical sequence.
And I think, well, I don't think we need to do much spoiler alert anywhere, because
right.
I think that this story is
classic.
Well-known. But just to set it up, because we're about to hear Julie Jordan's half of If I Loved You. Misfits, which, of course, any good musical has two misfits falling
right.
in love, but Billy Bigelow's the scoundrel, he's the carnival barker, you nice girls don't hang out with him and all that stuff. And sweet, innocent Julie Jordan just trying to make her way
right.
in the world, and they've crossed paths.
Yes, they have, and in a pretty profound way. The other thing that's interesting about Carousel, it tells the story significantly through beautiful dance. And even a pantomime, the entire prologue sets up several plot points within the story before a single word is spoken or a single note is sung, which is very special. It's not something we're used to seeing on stage much nowadays, so it's very special to have this. And we're fortunate enough, we've got a cast of about 35 at the Lake City
nice.
Playhouse, largest cast they've had on that stage since probably when they did Les Miserables several years back. They've expanded the stage a little bit, so it's a little larger. Mm. But and we're very fortunate to have Trigger Weddle as our director and choreographer. Mm. The dancing in this show is just beautiful, and again, the dancing tells a story, so it's fun to watch and critical to the presentation of this particular musical.
And on radio, what we can do well is the sound, and so we're going to go to Julie Jordan's half of the song If I Loved You in the studio, Nora Lee Kimball at the piano, and as Julie Jordan, it's Karen Hunt. Let's hear it.
Oh.
Karen Hunt as Julie Jordan. And right now in the play, the next line would be, but you don't.
But you don't.
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
Yeah, in the search for love. Well, we're going to have we're going to talk to all these actors. We have four of the actors from the play here. So Karen, come on in. And you and Billy are trying to figure out what is love if you love each other. Talk about that pursuit of love from Julie Jordan's point of view.
I love the character of Julie Jordan. I think it's interesting because she's a very strong character, but she's quiet about it. She's not very outspoken. And you hear Carrie talk at the beginning about how thoughtful Julie is, and she's always spacing off. And I think she has this very idealistic sense of love. She's also very strong and independent. So she's like, I think of a Elizabeth Bennet quote, like, only the strongest sort of affection will ever, like, persuade me to marry. And she's kind of that mindset. She's like, I don't think I'm ever going to find that, but I have this ideal in my mind. And when she sees Billy, she's like, well, let's see maybe how this will go. It probably won't lead anywhere. And she's taken by surprise just at the instant chemistry that there is. And there's lots of signs that maybe this isn't a good idea, but you just, when you find that connection, it's something that you don't find very often in musical theater, the type of relationship that Billy and Julie have, because you can tell, I mean, the passion's there, and the music tells you that like they really, truly love each other, but they're both such strong personalities that they have a hard time figuring that out, and just communicating is their biggest issue.
Yeah, so computer dating wouldn't have put them together.
No.
And so what does put them together? What does Julie see in Billy through all of his? Is it his very confidence and big braggadocio?
I think part of that attracts her, but I think what really makes her fall in love with him is the moment in the bench scene where he starts getting really thoughtful and thinking about the meaning of life, and when she realizes that he thinks the same things about love and how he doesn't think it'll happen, but he has this strong idea, and they realize that deep down they have very similar core values, and that the fact that they can really feel like they can open up to each other, even just meeting each other, is really where that bond comes from. Because even if they can't say it, they really understand each other.
So, Connor Ely, as Billy Bigelow, defend yourself here.
Defend myself.
Do you think Julie had you figured out there?
Well, I wouldn't like to think any girl has Billy figured out, but when we first meet Julie, she has such a strong impact because she has the same bullheadedness that he does. Mm-hmm. And I think that really draws him to her because she's resilient. She won't go home, and she's staying here with him regardless of how he's treating her, because, you know, I can get any girl I want, but somehow this one just seems to really stick out to him, and he feels like he has to have her.
Mm-hmm. And she's innocent, he's not. So no. What's that attraction about?
Well, her innocence when she's like, you know, just this casual girl who comes to the carousel with her friend Carrie. And at first it seems like there's nothing really there. And he's playing it off as, oh, there's, you know, how could we be in love together? But as the song, the bench scene goes on, he finds that she is
so much of their relationship is under the surface, which makes it
right
perfect for a musical, because so much of that subtext, thank you to Rodgers and Hammerstein,
yes,
just makes it so much clearer when we can't say what we want to say because we're both stubborn and don't want to communicate. The music allows us to really express what's actually going on.
And I think there's so much nuance in their characters. Rodgers and Hammerstein is so good with heroines, with its female characters, presenting them as not just simple, but strong and independent. And even though Julie is sort of a typical female character of the day, she's not put off by the strength or even a little bit of the danger in this man when she meets them. And sort of the opposite is true with Billy. He is bold and brash and big and not so innocent, yet he sings about noticing the stars, and he sings about noticing the leaves falling in the wind. I mean, so there's a lot of complexity and a lot of nuance to these characters that is, and all of that, by the way, is portrayed through the songs, through the music. It's just beautiful. It's such a beautiful piece how that's done. Mm. But these two handle it so well. Karen is such a strong presence on stage, and so is Connor, but he doesn't let the brutishness of Billy overpower his character. He's very gentle as well. So it's an actor's dream, certainly a singer's dream. We all know that, but it's an actor's dream as well.
Yeah. What I love about this story and why I think so many people really connect with it is it's not just two-dimensional characters or like the typical damsel in distress trope or like the typical musical love story where everything is really ideal and through rose-colored glasses. The characters are all very real, and they all have multi-dimensional personalities, and they have strengths and they have faults. And I mean, rehearsing the show, like so many different moments between different characters in the show, I was like, it doesn't matter who comes to see this show. I really feel like everyone will find at least one moment that they really connect to in their own life. They're like, I've experienced that.
Yeah. And you, Connor?
And feeling the guard coming down slowly. It does start with that brutishness and crassness, but then I think what happens is we see this very soft side of Billy that he feels that he lets kind of slip by because Julie is slowly ever opening him up. And and she does it so well.
So but there's the nice thing about this show, there is this misfit couple, and then there's the other couple who are so very different. We're going to move
so
to them in just a moment, but so that we can get to them right away. Really quickly, your bios. Karen, do you live around here, and what do you do and all that?
I just graduated from the University of Idaho with my Bachelor of Music and Vocal Performance, but I'm from the area. I grew up in Post Falls, so I've mainly been doing work down in Moscow. Mm. We just did Johnny Skiki in the spring, and I sang Loretta in that, which was a lot of fun. And I've also performed a few times with Opera Coeur d'Alene. I'm going to be Cousin Hebe on the boat tour this weekend, which will be really fun on Pinafore, and I was a interesting casting choice, but I did Berta in the fall, so it's been really amazing, and I've been fortunate to really get a taste of all the amazing arts organizations in the area, and it's nice to kind of get back into musical theater because I haven't had the chance to do that in
a
long time.
And you, Connor?
I'm from the area. I performed a lot with Opera Coeur d'Alene. I've done many of their choruses, and the biggest thing I've done is Parpignol and La Boheme that was here at Spokane at the Fox. And just mostly casual performing. I've only been professionally singing now for about a couple of years.
Nice. Connor Ely, Karen Hunt as the two people we've been talking to. We move to Carrie Pipridge and Enoch Snow, and we get the contrast because they are starting to imagine what life would be like together. So back to the studio. Grady O'Shea as Enoch Snow and Nicole Delbridge as Carrie Pipridge. And so let's hear this next duet from Carousel.
When the children are asleep, we'll sit and dream the things that every other dad and mother dream. When the children are asleep and lights are low, I still love you the way I love you today. You'll pardon my saying I told you so. When the children are asleep, I'll dream with you. We'll think what fun we have had and be glad that it all came true.
With Nora Lee Kimball playing the piano, we were hearing Nicole Delbridge as Carrie Pipridge and Grady O'Shea as Enoch Snow, When the Children Are Asleep, in a very different kind of courtship than the one we were just talking about between Billy Bigelow and Julie Jordan. So let's get you two to the microphones here, and we're kind of leading with the issues of the two women, these two good friends, Carrie and Julie, who go in such different directions. And Nicole, as Carrie Pipridge, what about this guy that this smelly fisherman that you found?
Oh, yeah, he might be smelly, but Carrie likes him a lot. And
why? What's the attraction? What is Carrie looking for?
He's a hard worker and always has a plan, which I think she really likes. And he just is super sweet to her and really shows his affection and is not afraid to show affection, which is beautiful.
Yeah. And then Mr. Snow, Grady O'Shea is Enoch Snow. You're just kind of, is this maybe your first girlfriend? Might you project that?
My guess was that this is maybe his, you know, he's had one or two things with women in the past, but this is his first. He's very, very seriously in love with a beautiful woman, and he's just crazy about her, and that brings out the optimism in him, and I really love that about him.
So, and then I'm going to pull this back to Chuck, too. For any of you, there's this really difficult couple, you know, and in the other two, this is the easy couple, but is it just that simple? Is it?
No, not at all. They have their ups and downs, too. There's a, you know, Jigger is sort of the bad guy, sort of wonderfully played by bass Josh Vanderplaats. Sort of he takes advantage of Carrie's naivete and flirts, and she doesn't even really realize that that's what he's doing.
No.
But Mr. Snow certainly doesn't like what he sees when he walks in on them, and that, and so there's that. There's always a little conflict in even the best relationships in life, so it would be natural that they'd be portrayed that way in a musical as well. But these two are just so fun to watch. Both the characters are fun to watch, and these two actors are just brilliant and fun and lively. That it provides, you know, the show could be done very heavy-handed, but these portions provide some of that relief and some of that uplifting moments as well that are much needed.
And they get married and go off and have a bunch of kids.
They have a ton of children, yes.
So
many children.
That sort of thing. Well, let's quickly find out who each of you is. Nicole, when you're not doing this, what are you doing?
I came from Reno, so I'm very new here.
Oh, well,
and
welcome.
So I'm kind of getting into the swing of things. So this is my first show in this area. And so I'm just trying to find my place, but... Love singing and working and having some fun meeting new people.
Yeah, she just finished her bachelor's in music down in Reno.
Mm-hmm.
In Reno, the University of Nevada at Reno.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Grady, what about you?
I am a full-time student up at Whitworth University. I'll be going into my third year there. I'm studying theater and psychology, and basically those are the only two things that I do. I work over at Fred Meyer up in Wandermere, and then... Yeah, just do a lot of theater, do what I love to do.
Then doing all this theater. Let's bring in Nora Lee Kimball, who has graciously agreed to play piano, even if she's not the pianist for the show, because you got one of the really cool roles in this show, don't you, Nora Lee?
I really do, don't I? Yeah. Fabulous songs and low line load, and I just get to swoop in and comfort Carrie when Jigger
and
gets fresh.
Your character's name, I'm going back on her.
Nettie Fowler,
that's right, yeah.
Nettie Fowler. I think that's short for Henrietta, in my mind anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's just say. And obviously I'm there for Julie when Billy dies, and our relationship is very dear and very special.
And that's kind of a role that a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical often needs, isn't it? The wise person from the outside.
It is. Very much like Mother Superior and Sound of Music and
sure.
Like Aunt Eller in Oklahoma, too, which is a role I'd like to play sometime, especially since my roots are in Oklahoma. And I had an Aunt Eller. I did.
Norley Kimball in that role. And then you're also very invested in a lot of this, aren't you? Because you live in Coeur d'Alene and you and your husband Kent work very hard at the arts everywhere, but including in Coeur d'Alene, don't you?
Yes.
So talk a little bit about, you know, trying to keep things going, including, frankly, you know, the kind of putting it back together of Lake City Playhouse.
Mm. Yes, I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but I do know that this cast is particularly stellar. And so I really hope the community will come out to see the show. I know they'll feel blown away by the quality of the work that's being done, and they'll see that the theater has every intention of continuing on and producing great work, and that's what we're all hoping for. Right. But yeah, we love Coeur d'Alene, and I mean, Kent and I each sing in church choir. Mm-hmm. We started singing with the Spokane Symphony Chorale too last year, and that was really fun. Good. I retired, so I have time to just make music and play with my grandchildren. Hi, grandkids.
Choral director at North Central High School.
I was 13
years.
Well,
let's send you back with your versatility to the piano.
All right.
And send Connor out there. We're going to wrap this up here in just a little bit. The show we're talking about is Carousel. It opens this Friday at Lake City Playhouse, 13th and Garden in Coeur d'Alene. And it's Friday, Saturday night, 7:30, Sunday at 2, and then it's the following week's Thursday through Sunday with those same show times. So let's, things have gotten pretty intense in the late in Carousel, and Billy Bigelow is really trying to make a fairly intense statement about what goes on in the highest judge of all. So back to our studio and one more song.
Take me beyond the pearly gates to a beautiful marble hall. Take me before the highest throne and let me be judged by the highest judge of all. Let the Lord shout and yell, let his eyes flash flame. I promise not to quiver when he calls my name. Let him send me to hell, but before I go, I feel that I'm entitled to a hell of a show. Want pink-faced angels on a purple cloud, twanging on their till their fingers get red. One organ music, let it roll out loud, rolling like a wave washing over my head. Want every star in heaven hanging in the room, shining in my eyes when I hear my doom. Reckon my sins are good big sins, and the punishment won't be small. So take me before the highest throne and let me be judged by the highest judge of all.
And one of the really dramatic songs from Carousel, Let Me Be Judged by the Highest Judge of All, sung for us by Connor Ely as Billy Bigelow, and at the piano, Nora Lee Kimball. So there it is. There's a preview of the opening Friday night of Carousel at Lake City Playhouse. The other two openings this weekend, tonight, South Pacific opening at Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater, and Sylvia opening tomorrow night at Stage Left. So there's plenty of theater. Let's all do lots of theater over the next few weeks.